Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's also you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sound off with me, folks, on another close game down in Atlanta and another close loss down in Atlanta. This one, 123-122 in overtime for the Celtics falling to the Atlanta Hawks. This game was as close as it gets, and I mean that as a fact. Neither team led by more than 8 points at any moment of this game, and the game actually featured 41 lead changes. That is the most that's ever been recorded in a Celtics game, and that's in the play-by-play era since 1996. So we're talking about 27 years of basketball, and this game featured the most lead changes out of all of them that the Celtics have played. So really an incredible back-and-forth battle throughout this game, and it came down to the wire yet again. Monday night, the Celtics fell by 2 points, and tonight they fall by 1 point in overtime. But a lot had to go down to get to that final result. The Celtics had a chance in regulation on multiple levels to win this game. Jaylen Brown cashed in on a very, very difficult jumper from the left elbow with about 40 seconds left in regulation to give the Celtics a 3-point lead. And everything was feeling good at that point. You think that the Celtics are going to come out with a win and get by just by the skin of their teeth. However, down at the other end, Bogdanović answers with a 3-pointer, and that came off a back-breaking offensive rebound. That was the name of the game for the Atlanta Hawks in this game. 17 offensive rebounds in this game, and that led to 28 second chance points. And those final three, off of that final offensive rebound of regulation, were an absolute backbreaker. So that tied the game up on that three-pointer by Bogdanović. But still, the Celtics had a chance to win. But after this game, Joe Mazzulla did say, and he said it, and it is a fact, if we grab the rebound, we win in regulation. It's obviously a big if. The Celtics did not do that. But it is a fact that they did what they had to do up until that point. They scored when they needed to score. Jaylen Brown made the shot off of a nice action. Then they forced the miss. Now they've got to clean up the defensive glass moving forward. Now, the Celtics still had another chance to win at the end of regulation. And there's going to be this story that they went to the same old thing. Jason Tatum, isolation, and he misses. That's not what happened. Go back and watch the tape. I've sent it out on X. That is not what happened. Derek White inbounded the ball from the left sideline into Jrue Holiday. Meanwhile, Jason Tatum began streaking from the backcourt down the middle of the court. The Celtics have run this play before. It's led to a layup. It was with Marcus Smart making the pass. Okay? Tatum read the play, and he hit the brakes just over midcourt. So the play keeps going. Jrue Holiday passes him the ball. Then Holiday goes over and sets a bit of a slip screen out, and this is really close to midcourt, right in the center of the court. On that screen, Atlanta winds up switching. Wesley Matthews, who was defending Jason Tatum, switches on to Jrue Holiday. Bogdan Bogdanovic, who was defending Holiday, switches on to Tatum. And in that switch, in that very moment, the Celtics were looking for an advantage. They almost got it. Wesley Matthews almost fell over on that switch. And that's exactly what happens. When you run an action with another player, you're setting up the possibility that the other team does not execute the switch if they are going to switch. And maybe they don't execute staying on their man if they are not switching. And the Celtics nearly got it. Wesley Matthews was all but down, 90% down, falling to the floor. And somehow he caught his balance. But if he didn't, Tatum would have found Holiday on a cut to the basket. It would have been almost a certain layup on that play. So Matthews catches himself, stays up. And at that point, it's Tatum versus Bogdanovic. That's where the isolation came. And that was probably with 4 seconds left on the clock, maybe, when they get to that situation. And Holiday was not open. So at that point, Tatum does have to take the shot. He takes a couple dribbles and fades to his left and misses a bank shot three-pointer from the left wing at the end of regulation. So we go to overtime. So just remember, this was not an absolute isolation play with no action around it. This was a real play that the Celtics ran, and it almost worked by getting Jrue Holiday a layup because Atlanta almost did not execute their switch. So you're going to hear all the noise that it was just the same old. It was not. This was not a standard isolation play where everyone stands and watches. Didn't happen. So we go to overtime, and the game continues to go back and forth. And at the end of overtime, Jaylen Brown hits another big shot. And this one came off another action that involved multiple players. This time, the Celtics inbounded the ball. Derek White was out of bounds in the exact same spot, left sideline. Inbounded to Kristaps Porzingis in the post. Porzingis starts to operate in the post, and he winds up finding Jaylen on a little bit of a back cut from the top of the arc. He hits Brown, and Brown winds up hitting another tough shot. This one from the right elbow. 6.6 seconds left. Pushes Boston ahead with a one-point lead. And Brown hit this shot with Wesley Matthews all over him. He was draped all over him. It could have easily been a foul, but the Celtics did go up by one with that basket off of yet another play at the end of the game where they involved multiple players in an action. Now, as I said, Brown hit the big shot over a defender who was draped all over him. At the other end, give credit where credit's due. DeJounte Murray did the exact same thing on the game winner. He hit a pull-up from about 21 feet out straight away with Jrue Holiday draped all over him. Holiday could not have defended this any better. It was Murray's 44th shot of the game, and it gave him 44 points on the night, and it gave Atlanta a one-point win. That basket sank through the net with about 0.1 seconds left. The Celtics call for timeout, but at that point, you need an absolute miracle to be able to get a dunk shot into the basket off an inbound pass. Clearly, the Celtics weren't able to make that happen, and that bucket from Murray wound up being the game winner. Now, after this game, one thing that stood out that Joe Mazzulla said is he was talking about Kristaps Porzingis and how Porzingis was getting switched on to Murray throughout this game, and particularly during the fourth quarter in overtime. And I think a lot of people who are watching the game, including Eddie House, by the way, who was the game analyst on NBC Sports Boston, was saying Murray is hunting this switch. He wants to get Porzingis switched on to him so that he can go and score. And I think everyone on the outside, and that includes Eddie House, because we all don't know what's going through Joe Mazzulla's head, are all thinking, why are the Celtics allowing this to happen? Why aren't they sending a second defender? Why are they leaving Kristaps Porzingis on an island against a guy who's playing a pretty darn good game? It wasn't a great game for Murray. He scored 44 points on 44 shots. It's not the most efficient game that you can have in the world. So it's not like he was scoring at will. But still, why are the Celtics not sending any help? Well, we did get into Mazzulla's head after the game. He made a very interesting point that he wanted this to happen. He wanted to get this on film. He wanted to experiment and practice with Kristaps Porzingis having to switch onto a point guard or a scoring perimeter player. because typically throughout the season, the Celtics have not put Porzingis in that situation. Typically, they have not switched 1 through 5 when Porzingis has been put into those pick and rolls or pick and pops, whatever the action is that you want to call it. So Mazzulla made the decision tactically that he wanted Kristaps Porzingis to be put into these actions so the Celtics could practice those situations, so Porzingis could practice those situations, and so that Mazzulla could get this on film. Which leads to a broader discussion that Joe Mazzulla and the Celtics are simply practicing for the playoffs right now. That's what they're doing. They've got the East locked up. It's done. Number one seed in the East, all done. They got to have 4 games go their way the rest of the regular season to win the top seed overall. You got to assume that's going to happen given the way that the Celtics have played this season, given the way the talent that they have on this roster. So think about this. As you see things unfold the rest of this season, including the way that the Celtics operate at the end of games, they're experimenting. They want to see how certain things work. They want to see how certain things don't work. Maybe Mazzulla goes back and watches those actions at the end of the game, one that didn't end with a bucket that went to Jason Tatum and one that did end with a bucket to Jaylen Brown. And maybe he learned something from those. This is all about knowledge, experimenting and learning and practicing for what the Celtics are going to be set up to try to make a run to an NBA championship starting in a few weeks. That's what this is all about. So as you watch the remainder of this season, 9 games left, keep that at the forefront of your mind because that is at the forefront of the head coach of the Boston Celtics' mind. This is practice and preparation time for the NBA playoffs. All right, we're going to take a few comments from Celtics Nation. We've got RBT Collection on the Celtics and their killer mindset. CJ Norris comes in on playing against tough teams. And then Logical Celtics Fan, I love that name, on what needs to change before the postseason. All right, let's get into our first one here from RBT Collection. All right, first one in, RBT Collection saying, this team needs to go for the kill when they smell blood in the water, but we've been saying that for 3 to 4 years now. I understand what you're saying here, RBT Collection. Do I agree with it completely? No, I don't, because I actually think that the Celtics have had a damn good killer mindset this season. There's no other way that you log 57 wins on the season with 9 more to play and a bunch of narrow losses along the way without a killer mindset. I think that's been one of the biggest differences between this team and the teams from the prior couple of seasons is that this team has gone for the kill. It hasn't let up. It has had mental toughness throughout all situations. It hasn't blown a ton of leads. It has blown leads. I'm not saying they haven't. But they've led by 20 points for probably 75% of their wins this season. And most of them have stayed around that point. That's how the Celtics have one of the top 5 or 6 point differential averages in NBA history. It's because they have had the mindset to battle through. So I disagree that this is the same team and the same situation that we've seen from the last 3 or 4 years. I think the Celtics do have a much better killer mindset. These past 2 games, they haven't. I thought they had it. I said this right after the first quarter of the game Monday night. That was an incredible performance where the Celtics said, you're not playing with your top players tonight. A bunch of them are missing. We don't care. We are taking our A game to you. The final 3 quarters, that didn't exist. Tonight, that didn't exist. So these 2 games, I think, are rarities for the Celtics this season. They typically have gone for the kill, and they have killed more than any team in the NBA this season. They've typically, when they've smelled blood in the water, they have gone for the jugular and they have won and they have taken the opponent down. So were these last 2 games great examples of that? Absolutely not. This was the opposite. But this season, they have shown a history and they have built it through 73 games now that they do that far more than often. So let's not get too caught up in these last two games down in Atlanta. All right, next one coming in from CJ Norris says, they need to get it together. It's starting to look like we can't be tougher than teams when they are playing physical. And that's one carryover from the last few seasons. Again, we're going back to the last few seasons. Got 9 games to get over that. CJ, there have certainly been times this season when physicality has gotten the best of the Celtics. I think sometimes when the refs swallow the whistle, that gets the best of the Celtics. They might be playing for a foul. They might be playing to try to get contact as opposed to finishing the shot, prioritizing the contact. Well, sometimes you're not going to get the whistle. And sometimes, like tonight, there were many moments throughout this game that the Celtics had to play through contact to try to score the basketball, and they didn't get the call. One of which was that final basket of regulation by Jaylen Brown to put the Celtics up by 3. And if he got that call, could have made the free throw to put them up by 4. Obviously, didn't get the call. But the Celtics did have to play through physicality that Atlanta brought to the table at the defensive end tonight. Atlanta pushed the boundaries on how physical it could be tonight. They were not going to allow the Celtics to get easy shots off with no contest and no physicality. They were going to put the pressure on the refs to either blow the whistle or not. And tonight they didn't blow the whistle. And on top of that, as we talked about, Atlanta crashed the offensive glass. The Celtics also didn't answer that call. So these are two areas where I think the Celtics can improve. They can get back to protecting the offensive glass because that was the difference. Excuse me, the defensive glass for them, the offensive glass for the opponent. But that was the difference in this game. And then additionally, the farther you go in the playoffs, the less often you're going to get the whistle. We all know physical basketball is playoff basketball. So the farther the Celtics advance in this potential run to an NBA Finals and potentially to a title, they are going to have to play through physical opponents. They are going to have to play through those physical defenses. They're going to have to play through not getting the whistles. So definitely two areas that the Celtics can and need to improve upon. As you said, CJ, they got 9 games left in the regular season to work on it. And then they got, hopefully, what's going to be a long playoff run to work on it as well. Because you can start out in the playoffs not playing your best basketball, but you got to be playing your best basketball to get through that Eastern Conference Finals, to get through an NBA Finals, to win a championship. You've got to remove those weaknesses. And right now, occasionally, those are weaknesses for the Celtics. All right, last one coming in here tonight from Logical Celtics fan saying locked in the one seed and got complacent. Looked very disconnected defensively for way too long to win a game against a team that can rebound and hit threes well. Fine, as long as this doesn't become the norm. Can't get out of a title mindset, but a short break after locking the number one seed is okay. A lot of logic here coming in from Logical Celtics fan. No, you got to agree with this, right? The Celtics did not play great defense tonight. And you can see it throughout the box score. Atlanta winds up shooting 49% from the field, 34% from three-point range. Only got to the line for 10 free throws, so the Celtics didn't play handsy defense where they were committing fouls. But it hasn't seemed over the last handful of games like the defense has been quite as locked in as it's needed to be. And really, as it's played for the majority of the season, which is why they're top 2-3 defensive rating in the league, they've been really good defensively, and we know that they've got the talent across the board to perform at that side. But it doesn't seem like they've been in that lockdown mindset lately. Tonight, and really on Monday, it felt like they started to buckle down when they needed to, right? You look at the fourth quarter tonight, Atlanta, 23 points. What did the Hawks shoot from the field during that quarter? 9-for-19 from the field. And by the way, they grabbed 4 offensive rebounds during that fourth quarter, scored 10 second chance points. So I thought the Celtics played pretty solid defense during the fourth quarter when they needed to buckle down. But we want to see this, to your point, logical Celtics fan, we want to see this throughout an entire game, as we have through the majority of the season. The Celtics have been great defensively. We can't have them looking disconnected and not totally plugged in like they have these last couple of games, these last few games, really. So you want to see them get back to that and playing great defense throughout a game. And to your point, can't get out of a title mindset, right? Like, yeah, the Celtics locked up the number one seed in the East. Maybe it's just natural human nature to kind of let up a little bit for a couple games, and that's what maybe the Celtics did here while they were down in Atlanta for the last 4 or 5 days, playing a couple games against the Hawks, who were, by the way, playing 3 games in 4 nights. But it would be nice to see the Celtics get back to taking it to opponents, marking their territory from the opening tip until the final buzzer, and really saying, we are the team that every team needs to go through to try to win a championship. It's not the defending champions out in Denver. It's us. We are the team that opponents need to go through if they want to try to get to the title. So that's going to do it for tonight. Obviously, a couple of tough losses for the Celtics down in Atlanta. But as always, it's the NBA. You turn the page, you got another opportunity to bounce back in the next game. That opportunity is going to come Saturday night, Saturday evening here in Boston, as the Celtics have a 5 o'clock Eastern matchup with the Pelicans down in New Orleans. And when we talk about the Pelicans, these boys have been balling. Zion Williamson is playing some of the best basketball of his career. The Pelicans have won 6 of their last 8 games. They just beat the Bucks tonight in New Orleans. So a great matchup coming up Saturday. Again, it's at 5 o'clock. You can catch that game on NBC Sports Boston. I'm just going to say, this has an outside chance of being an NBA Finals matchup. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but my hands are up. I think that there is the potential that this could happen. There's no doubt in my mind that New Orleans, if it gets the right matchups, it could make a run. I'm just saying. So that matchup is coming up Saturday evening at 5 o'clock Eastern. It's Jason Tatum versus Zion Williamson. It's Jaylen Brown versus CJ McCollum. We got great players on both sides of the court. I hope you all enjoy that game. We are going to be off from Sound Off for that game Saturday, but we will be back in action Monday night after the Celtics wrap up this road trip in Charlotte against the Hornets. So no Sound Off coming Saturday, but we'll be back with an episode Monday night. Please make sure to tune in, and please make sure to take part. Until then, have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you Monday night.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.